This is CliffCentral.com.
This is our guest today, Drukus Falskeg. Drukus, how do they say your name in America?
Yo, they struggle, huh? They say Drinkus.
Drinkus?
Drinkus.
Drinkus, yeah.
Okay, and that's the easy part of your name. How do they go with your last name?
They just give up.
Oh, no.
Drinkus give
they
up.
They just get to Drinkus and then they give up. They don't even go for it.
Damn, too much, that's it.
So Drukus is joining us today because he's an actor who, I mean, Maze Runner is just one of the shows he's been involved in. A hugely celebrated local actor who's obviously got on to make it in Hollywood, America. And I always wonder, like, you watch the guys on all the local soapies, the local different shows, and that's hard work, hey? Like, it's hard to get to that point. And I always believe it's not so much a sacrifice, but, like, the arts and all that kind of stuff is very, very difficult because very competitive. And you really have to be so into it. You can't have a bad day on camera. Like, I can sit here... I can be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can ignore half of Sia's running order, but I'll be back tomorrow. If Drukus is terrible at his job, they'll go, Sia, that character's going to need to be killed or whatever. So Drukus is in today to talk about his career in acting. And, Drukus, because of you and your CV, this running order is 3 pages today.
Yeah.
It is quite impressive, all the international work that you've been able to do and that you got involved in. When did that start? When did you start, you know, shooting international projects?
Yes, I think I got my first one about 2010, 2011. I think it was, I can't even remember what it was, but I also started in soaps.
Yes.
We all started in soapies, so I never looked down on any soapy.
The difference, though, is a lot of people start in soapies and then a lot of them just kind of, like, that's the ceiling for them. So then when you manage to break over that ceiling, does it come with this huge sense of relief? Or
I think it's a choice, Mobali. At the end of the day, you have to. I've heard a beautiful saying. They call it the golden cuffs. If you're in a soap, you have the golden cuffs. You're very famous in South Africa. And you have money because you have a salary, but you're cuffed with those golden cuffs. So I had to make the decision and say, I'm not going to be in soaps anymore and break away from it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you had obviously a big role in Binnenlanders.
Yes.
And the great thing about in this country is still, I mean, look at Cakenet. The Afrikaans community is very much behind their art. So I think music sales in Afrikaans music are still the most legit music sales. Mm. People are still buying CDs. I mean, the shows, I mean, Cakenet is the channel still going great.
Still going on,
I mean, we spoke about Boersucker Flow the other day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, not to be disparaging, but I mean, it's a hit show. It's got a big audience.
You also watch it? That's so, okay.
I mean, watch it once.
Okay.
Okay. Twice. There we go.
I know of the show.
We aren't here to judge.
So, but like the whole thing is, I mean, like you say, there is the ability to say, cool, I've got a great local career. Pretty happy. My role's going well here. I've got a following. Like, when you started, I mean, you came from quite an academic sort of background, an academic sort of family. Was it just a kind of look-see, or did you always have that idea, like, I know I can go overseas, I know I can do international stuff, this is just part of the process?
I think I always knew I could do it. But you always have that thing that you're a bit nervous of doing it. I still have that thing of, I don't want to become an American.
Right.
I don't want to move to Los Angeles and become an American, like, let's say Charlize did, because you have to become an American if you want to be in their films, you know.
Damn you, Charlize, a sellout.
Though, you know what? I did 3 auditions for Maze Runner. The first one was in normal accent, like I'm speaking to you guys now, and then the Americans came back and said they don't understand my English.
Yeah.
I had to do...
It's a weird thing to kind of comprehend, because you know your English is perfectly fine.
I don't think I've got, like, bad English.
No, well, you don't. They just have bad hearing.
No, exactly. And I'm very much a groundbreaking fighter for, come cast us in our country in our own accent. I mean, if I see another Mandela that's American, we've got some of the best black actors in the world, I believe.
Yeah.
I think out of all the Mandelas on screen, Timothée Chalamet was the only one.
The only South African, really.
Yeah.
I get very upset about that. I think we have to fight more. I think we have to say, if you want to shoot your film in our country, 50% of the cast must be South African.
Can I just go back to something that you said, which I find really interesting? So you said that you've never wanted to be an American. And I think or certainly when I look at a lot of our South Africans who have made it big, Charlize, and then, you know, Pearl Tusi did a stint while she was filming Quantico recently. Yeah. Trevor Noah is now, you know, he lives there.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you so resistant to, where a lot of people would think, but the obvious decision is to go to America and to plant myself there so that this thing gets kickstarted? But what are you so resistant to?
I think I want them to come here and see our truth and see what we worth, you know. Why can't they cast the Australians and the British people in their own countries and come shoot there, and they live in their own country, but they can't do it with us? Why do we have to go there?
Mm.
Why can't they come here?
So with a lot of the international movies that you've done, I'm assuming you filmed a lot of them here, or were there times where you had to do stints in America?
I've filmed all of them here.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. But also, it's also like a great vote of confidence for the local film industry as well. These kind of things are still happening. But would you say that is going to give more opportunities for the local guys coming through?
I think so.
It's like, you know, we can go there, and we're not just going for locations, because we all know best locations in the world, quite possibly, depending on what you're shooting. But also, you're going to get the local talent can go with locations, is also what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think our actors are good enough.
Do the people behind the purse strings think that our actors are good enough?
No.
You know, well, then that is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a British or an American director and you are casting for Mandela, you're thinking about your own actors and not necessarily South African actors.
Don't think about the South African actors, yeah.
Yeah, but guys, I think in fairness, like, sorry to cut you short there, but don't you also believe that if you're putting the money behind this, you're going to get an actor that's going to be good enough to adapt? And I think ultimately they're not emotional about where the person comes from. It's about, can they really handle a big role?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, look, it's a fair point, because actors are adaptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest actor ever was...
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Here we go.
I was going to quote the Team America World Police, but like they were saying, like Alec
Harvey.
Alec Baldwin is the greatest actor in the world because he can play any role. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio has coaches. Daniel Day-Lewis was always a method actor who... I mean, he could believe he could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you generally cast because you believe an actor can fulfill a role rather than someone who is just perfect for the role sometimes.
Mm. Mm.
Because if you're going to pay them all the money, you hope that they've got the ability to do that and stand up to it.
Yeah, I think they still see it as they cast American actors as a star quality.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
To get people to come on and watch it. But as a South African, for me, it's still very hard to watch a black Mandela who's American. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Because they don't know. They don't know what... They don't have that emotional history.
And I think as well, if we were, and I'm not putting words into your mouth, Drikus, or any other South African actor, if we as South Africans were given more opportunities as well to prove ourselves,
completely,
if we're at a point
agree.
Where we've proven ourselves and they go, actually, you aren't to par, so let's pass on you guys and let's focus on British actors only, that would be a different case. But the fact that our industry still is growing...
Exactly, you know that they shot the whole Oscar Pistorius movie in Atlanta with only American actors.
Oh.
Not one South African actor. Not one South African. That's the situation we are in. So,
yeah, like,
so we as South
example,
African,
yeah.
we South African actors really compete with American actors at all levels. They just take our stories, and that really upsets me. I get quite passionate about that. I'm
sure.
tired of them stealing our stories and making it... I guess you can't say stealing it. Again, I guess stories are open to anybody to steal.
To tell.
Mm-hmm. But sure, it upsets me.
Now, I've often heard this thing being used as a counter argument to the point that you're making is, well, why aren't South Africans telling their own stories?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't we telling our own stories? Is it because we don't have the money to, we don't have the budget,
it's
we
money.
Don't have
I,
the...
I would love to
yeah.
make, I would love to make the Gareth Cliff Show musical. It would be a Broadway hit for 17 years.
Absolutely.
Sia would be in work.
Sia would be the lead,
yeah.
obviously.
But it would cost,
and I'll also score the whole production. Thank
yeah,
you.
But it would cost us about $3 billion.
yeah,
it is money, unfortunately.
So, okay, so like this is a process I find fascinating. From breaking out local industry, so you're going to castings, you're getting the work, you're on the productions, you're building a career. When you go over there, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how daunting is it to suddenly be in L.A., and suddenly going to places where nobody knows who the hell you are Or even worse, nobody understands what you're saying, even though you are just you.
It's hectic. Yeah, it's very intimidating. But it's like going to Cape Town as well. If you go and audition with all the models in Cape Town, you're sitting there with all the models. It's quite intimidating.
But like, yeah. if you sign up with, say, an agency or whatever, do they have people who kind of, you know, massage you into the situations better by saying, okay, well, we're going to send you here, chat to this guy, or go chat to this guy about, you know, is it almost like they can help you get, make the process easier, or is it just deep end the whole time?
I think it's just deep end the whole time, yeah. Oh. I think you really have to get somebody that believes in you. But these little small roles in overseas, in American films, they, you know, we moan about them, but they're still very small, but they do help. Once you get a small role, you can get an agent, and then you, I think Kim Engelbrecht and,
yes. They, Kim is on The Flash, yes. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she's on The Flash, and it's massive. They flew to Vancouver and filmed there. Apparently Vancouver is kind of the new place where everybody films. They say you don't even go and live in America anymore, you just go to Canada.
Oh wow.
Yeah, quite interesting. They film a lot of series there.
So Lucas, what you're saying is that when you go over there, it's like it's hard work to get an agent. Let alone we even get jobs now. Like, if you don't have someone representing you, that's almost the hard part.
Yeah, and it's very tough to just go with your Afrikaans or Generation CD.
Yeah, here's Binnenlanders, season 1. How about you go binge that?
Just read the subtitles. You'll understand how amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So but these little small roles really help. So if there's any young actors out there, don't get stuck in a soap.
What's the process like, though, when you are auditioning and being in the process of being selected for a massive international project? Because, I mean, like something like Batman versus Superman, I doubt it's an overnight process. Like, okay, you're the one, fantastic, let's go.
That was quite a whole studio,
it's a whole legacy of the movie.
Yeah, I was very excited to work on Batman versus Superman. You know what? They're so strict about the scripts. They don't even send the scripts to us. They send you, you don't even get the script for Batman Superman. I had to tell them, how it felt like to be saved by Superman.
That was your audition.
That was my audition. And then I got a call back. Then we filmed. I signed like 20,000 papers that we're not allowed to tell anybody. And the whole South African leg, I think we were 3 actors, didn't get the final cut. We were not in the final cut of the movie. So they came to film the whole section. I think I filmed 3 days. I was like a security guard or something, getting saved by Superman.
Oh my gosh. I completely didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
When it doesn't make the final cut.
No, the whole South African leg was not even in the final cut of the film.
And when do you find that out? Do you
Nobody tells you. Nobody tells you. That's why.
So you go to the movie opening night. You're sitting there with everybody and thinking, yes, I'm in this movie.
Mom, I told my sisters, I told my parents, I'm in the Superman
like this
movie.
Is it.
Where was it? Where was I when it came out? Under the couch, because I wasn't in the movie.
Oh no!
This is just like, it's like an episode of Friends when Joey was in that thing. And then it's
nobody
like,
told me, not even my agents, nobody.
Not a courtesy call.
Sorry guys, you're not in the final cut. So with Maze Runner, me and my publicist really made sure. We phoned 20th Century Fox and said, guys, we need written, because I can't say, okay, I can start doing interviews for Maze Runner. So we need written proof that I am in the final cut. So not even filming on a film, they don't give a damn. They don't let you know that, dude, you didn't make the final cut of the film.
Well, it's quite clear. I mean, these guys are on massive deadlines. Can you imagine the director goes, just cut that. Well, hang a second. Let's just call Dilikus. Anyone got his number? Let's just give him a call. Let's just stop everything.
No,
that's exactly that. You know, Maze Runner was huge. I gave up. I make a point of learning everybody's name on a set because I'm used to small sets. I gave up. I had a guy just holding my gun. That was his job.
Wow.
The presumptuousness of it all. I love it.
How big was your gun?
My gun was huge.
You had a professional gun holder.
I had a professional gun holder because my gun was huge.
Someone left home early in the morning and their job was to go and just sit and hold a gun. Yeah. I love that.
But I had somebody, but because the stunt guys behind me, you'll see if you watch Maze Runner, they all have fake guns. South African stunt people are amazing. We've got some really good stunt guys. But their guns are fake, but mine was real. So
how strenuous is a day of work for you when you're filming on set? I mean, I'm just picturing, you know, your call time is like 5 a.m. in the morning. Then you get there. Then it's like a whole process of kind of waiting for schedules, you know, to run through. And then they only call you for your part onto set at 5 p.m. Now you've been there 12 hours of the day. Is that about right or is it not?
This one was very different because we filmed everything in the city center. CBD of Cape Town at night. So my call time was about 8 o'clock in the evening.
Oh dear.
So you work until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh no.
Yeah, you work through, I think we filmed 3 or 4 nights on the few scenes I did.
Wow. But that must be an experience unlike any other.
It was, yeah.
And to go back to your roots as an actor, to create, to be immersed in this project, I think it's amazing.
It was. And Maze Runner is really, I watched it for the first time last night. It's a good film.
Mm. And you made sure you're
really,
in it.
I am in it.
Before I do my first interview about it. Yes.
So Delicus, with your... Like, you didn't just get into acting because you thought it'd be a cool thing to do one day. Like, you study that kind of stuff. You've been through the arts, the academic approach to it. Acting is, of course, just one facet of that. Do you have plans, of course, you know, getting the other side of the camera? Is production something that interests you? Like, you know, when you look at an acting career, a long-term kind of thing, you know, are there other plays that you try and make along the line?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm producing a few films this year that are already starting.
Okay.
Which is quite interesting. I can't say too much about them yet, but yeah, definitely producing. Yeah, creative producing.
Well, as you say, there's so many great stories here in South Africa. So
we have to like own them. I think it's like Mabali said as well. We have to, you know, I think it's about taking ownership of our own stories. We don't need a big budget, but just tell it.
But like nowadays with technology, there's something I've also been interested about because it's like we started the show today talking about vlogs and YouTube and how, you know, the production value that is going up. Does technology kind of help us to make things on the cheap, so to speak? Not like on the cheap, but if you look back in the days of Charlton Heston, when he was making things, I mean, he definitely had a guy holding a sword, by the way. Definitely. In Ben-Hur. I mean, like, it must have been very difficult to make those movies because of all the things you had to have. Whereas now, I mean, you can do things with phones that are just incredible cinematically. Mm. You know, is it enabling smaller projects to kind of get out there more? To actually create the stuff?
I think so, definitely. Yeah, I think that there are young people making movies on cell phones, which are really good.
But then the difficult thing would be distribution. Yeah. So that's almost where it's give and take, because you can get the stuff, but then how do you get it out?
Yeah, you always need the American star in it.
So, I mean, like, is that something, say, for instance, for your productions, if you were to make something like, you know, is there a golden sort of ticket around that? Is there a plan? Is there a way of overcoming that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough question. I think if we ever want to compete with Hollywood, we're going to have bigger budgets.
But what did, for example, Bollywood and Nollywood crack that we haven't cracked yet? Because
big populations.
No.
Lots of people having sex on an ongoing basis.
That can't just be it. There's a
casual copyright.
There's a very distinct level of pride with both Nollywood and Bollywood, where they very much, you know, it's a very signature stamp that they put on it. It's very clear that they are proud of how they make movies and how it's different from that whole Hollywood style, which I'm not sure that we as South Africans have like that signature stamp on just yet in terms of how we tell our stories. I could be completely wrong though.
Would you agree with that?
I agree. I think we're all still, our country is so young. I think we're still finding our stamp of our country in a way as well, you know? Mm. And I think once we've got that, then it'll go easier. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what we do.
Yeah, interesting is the operative term here, because I feel like as much as we, you know, we take one great step, you know, Tsotsi's won an Oscar, then I feel like we take seven steps back.
I feel the same, yeah.
So how is that for you as an artist moving around in the industry then?
I don't know, you know.
Do you tend to get frustrated?
I do get frustrated, and also the funding for our movies gets, I think it lands in wrong hands sometimes. But yeah, we can only hope for better.
Mm. Right. So, Delicus, where can we see Maze Runner? Is it out already?
It's out, yeah.
Okay.
It's out already. It opened last week, Friday.
Very nice.
Apparently, at Monte Cassino, it's great. And at one big cinema, the movies at Monte Cassino, yeah, it's quite cool to watch it there, 3D.
And sorry, just out of interest to pick your brain, because it is topical and you're here. In labor, what do you have to say about the entire scandal surrounding that movie right
now?
Oh,
no, I think it should have definitely been nominated.
Uh-huh.
Should have been the top five.
Well, because now it's been put on Netflix.
It's
in the US.
Yeah, exactly. It should have definitely been there.
Okay, there we go.
See, that's the beauty of it. Like, people can try and ban things and hold them back, and Netflix will be like, okay, well, yeah, we've got this huge platform, so how about you guys
That's the nice thing about Netflix.
I'm like, South Africa, can you not give up on whoever's angry about a ban of some sort?
Exactly. You know what? It's fine. Let people be angry at what they want to be angry at. The rest of us will just continue as normal.
So, Delicus, where can we find more of you? Are you online a lot?
Last Friday, Unmarried started. Connie and Shauna Ferguson's
on
series
One Magic.
with Keke Mputi and Renata Stierman. It started on Zanzi, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Every Friday, yeah. I play a bad boss.
Okay.
Bad
boss to look at every Friday.
Well,
thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.